Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
I'm Chemda.
Chemda, do you have a shredder, a paper shredder?
I do. Yeah, I forget, but I do. Yeah.
I don't. And I'm cleaning up my place and I have all these old tax stuff, you know, for the IRS, that kind of thing. But from so long ago that it's taken care of or things changed, but there's no reason to have these papers anymore. But I don't have a shredder. And so I put all these envelopes in a bag and then dumped baked beans in it and shook it around and put it in the garbage. That's a good thing to do, right?
I know that you're joking, but you also actually did it. I know that you did it. I have to ask you, my first question is, were the envelopes open so that beans can get on the actual information, or were they protected by this a little bit?
Some were open, some were closed.
Okay, because I have a shredder and I'm like, I don't know where the shredder is. Then maybe I have to plug it in and then I have to do like 3-5 papers at a time. Right. So instead I rip it up and I rip up a little bit more of where the information is. Like if my address is there, I rip it up into tiny pieces and the rest I rip into big pieces. And then I heard of putting it in a garbage bag and then putting like soap all over it and stuff like that. So right. I can't say I haven't done similar to you. And I imagine whoever's going through my stuff, if they have baked beans on it, but then I go, okay, if they have baked beans on it, I'm like, now they're looking extra. Cause why did I try to cover it with baked beans? And now they're really putting it together. Then I watched what's Go Fuck Yourself, Argo Fuck Yourself.
Right.
And I'm watching little children putting together.
Oh, yeah.
The
sliced up documents.
Yeah. And they didn't even have a cross shredder, but this was a while ago, maybe, I don't know, but they're putting together. And that was also in a Batman movie that the Penguin was like, I have a lot of time. And
right. Penguins were doing it. Yeah.
Yeah. Penguins and little children can put it back. So I'm fucked. So if someone's looking for my shit, I don't know. I don't want my old tax documents. The government doesn't want it. So, okay.
Right. It'd be funny if TMZ has like baked bean sniffing dogs and they go out there, smell weird food all of a sudden, the dog will bark, you go in and start digging. You get baked beans on your hand, you're like, that's like finding the glimmer of gold before you dig further.
Right. I want to recycle paper, but I'm like, not this paper. This paper I got to put with real garbage.
The other night, yesterday, we went to Washington Square Park. It was you, Xerxes, me, Rod, and Karen Morrow. Met her in person for the first time.
I met both of them for the first time.
Oh, you did. That's right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Me and Xerxes.
No surprise guests.
I was going to contact Newsy and be like, come on. 8 hours on a bus, but you're going to surprise the shit out of everybody. And I just thought, like, with him looking for an apartment and having a bunch of art stuff, I don't even want to put that on him.
And then, but, no joke, as we were sitting there, Mike Kaplan lookalike walked right past us. I was like, Rod, how can you? I asked Hemda, like, hey, that was fun, right? And she wasn't sure if she had fun. And I got to go, almost like, I don't know about this show sometimes. I go, Hemda, was it good? And it's like, were you laughing your balls off the whole time? Yeah. Okay, then it's probably good. That's exactly what we were doing in the park. There wasn't a dull moment. We were all laughing.
I know, but I'm like,
it's COVID, right?
I have not interacted in such a long time. I just recently, we opened up to go to my brother's and his family. And even that makes me nervous because the kids go to daycare and school and they're just, filth bomb, just like any other kid. And so this is my first, like, in a long time, an outing with friends. Right. And I couldn't help it. I'm the one who picked the place. I'm the one who picked the scenario. And so that puts it on me, and I know I shouldn't, and I let it go, but this is some of the thought process.
The place, by the way, is the park.
But not just the park. It was very specific. It's one of my favorite parks in New York. It's in the West Village. It has a bunch of food options that are quick and more, upscale. Mm-hmm. It is a park that is in dozens of movies. And the park has recently changed. Now it has unofficial weed stands. That's like really interesting to see. I think there was a yo-yo meetup in the corner at some point. Literally hundreds of bicycles came through. half of them on wheelies. Like, right. That's a park where things happen and things happen around it. It's right around NYU. It's right around the Comedy Cellar. It's right around like all of the things that you see in movies. So to me, this is iconic. It also gives people the opportunity to, we're not picking one place for you to eat. Bring your food from around the neighborhood.
Okay, let me guess. So you're picturing people are going to really explore the area and you're upset that we just sat in one spot and then said goodbye?
Not that I'm upset, that I'm like, why did I decide to get everybody to this downtown location that's somewhat not inconvenient, because I think New York is pretty convenient, but not around our areas in a different neighborhood, when we could have met in an outdoors anywhere if nobody cared about what the food is around and nobody cared about what the park is around.
But the park is fun. Somebody asked to borrow a lighter. I asked to borrow their dog so that we can make a trade. The whole thing's fun.
I think I'm just wigging out. Yeah. I just, you know, people come to New York and you just want to give them an experience. And I'm like, oh my God, was I supposed to bring food for everyone? I didn't want to make that choice for people. You know, all of this, it used to sit with me for days. I let it go immediately because I'm not responsible for all of this. People want to have what they want to have. And I'm just like, here's this as an option. Just because when you go with a bunch of people, it helps that one person just makes a decision and keeps it going.
Rod smoked for the first time. You really don't think you're a good tour guide. Come on.
Oh my God, that's right. I couldn't believe it. He's like, well, I've never smoked before, so here we go. So that was amazing.
He did say something like, hey, when do I feel it? He goes, when do I feel it? And it's fun. And you laughed and I took it like, you feel it. Trust us.
Well, you either feel it or you don't, because you smoked all of it.
Right.
the weed is gone.
But I can hear him like kind of, he's all of a sudden he's sitting different. He's talking a little different. And I'm like, no, it's there, but okay.
It is there. There's something like no one saying anything like that different or weird, right. But there's a relaxed mode. There's a noticing mode. Like, oh, I don't know if you would have said what you noticed or whatever, but we'll get to know all of this on last week when we talk to them after they hear this. Hi, Rod and Karen. I had a really nice time. It was really nice meeting you. I am COVID anxious. So it's kind of the first time, and I'm meeting you for the first time. So there it is. Yeah. All of my anxieties that went through my mind.
Well, everyone had fun, Henda. I'll tell you that much. I'm looking over here what we were going to talk about, and I see testimonies coming from Ukraine include gang rapes, assault. So you know what? Let's just, if you want to know the news, I guess you can look it up yourself. Okay.
Yeah.
I did like this story, though. Russian troops went into a regular person's house, started stealing shit, stole their iPods, their Apple iPods.
iPods.
So then this civilian is following the iPods. So he sees when they go back to Russia, he's obviously in a group at a certain place based on the news, and they can see when at least a troop is going to come back into another city to attack, all because somebody stole iPods.
That's so much intelligence right there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't mean smart. I mean intel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm watching movies now.
Can you tell? Henda said yesterday she's excited to see the movie Everything Everywhere All at Once.
You know what? This week is our third anniversary, me and Xerxes. Mm-hmm. That's what we're doing for anniversary. We are going into a movie theater. You told us that it was pretty empty and we're going to go during the day. So it's even more empty. And now I'm wondering, do we wear a mask the whole time or is it distance enough from people?
It's distance enough. It's not a major movie.
Let's not forget that you got COVID.
Yeah, but I mean, I saw Spider-Man and I'm sitting there in the middle of the theater and I gave up because I have stepkids. Sure. I don't know where I got it. It could be from them looking poles. It could be from me seeing so many Spider-Men on the screen at once. Who knows? The other week, we were talking some stories that I want to follow up on. Mike Tyson punching that kid in the face. The kid was an asshole. Fuck it. I'm not losing any sleep. I'm just saying this guy's a violent guy. He bit off Evander Holyfield's ear. He punched Robin Givens and said, that's the best punch I ever threw. Before that, he was convicted, of course, of rape, spent 3 long years in jail. I didn't know about this story. He told Lennox Lewis he was going to fight him in 2000. He said, I'm going to eat your children. Lennox Lewis is like, what the fuck? First of all, I don't have children, but it does seem like a little too much. They were doing like a promo, you know, where they stand next to each other. Looks like they're going to kiss or fight. that's when Mike Tyson bit this guy's leg, Lennox Lewis's leg, ended up getting $335,000 for the bite.
When was this?
This is back in 2000, a while ago. Just guy loves eating, and man, makes those gummy ears even more disgusting. But yeah, he's eating everything.
How do you get to someone's leg? Just logistically, right. You're standing there, you know. Yeah, it's so funny that you said, looks like they're going to fight or kiss. So how do you get, like, are you looking like you're going to blow him? And then it's like, gotcha.
Let me tie my shoe.
Yeah, what's with biting people?
Well, you can't. They said no punching. It's just a pro.
Oh, he's so professional.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we were telling the story of Bill Murray hearing that he was thrown off a set for being inappropriate. Now, nowadays, that always means sexual to me. But I'm like, I hear he has a violent behavior, you know, violent past. So is this related? You know, I assume it's related to that. Seems it's sexual after all. Bill Murray got touchy with women on the set of his latest movie, Being Mortal, before filming was shut down, says a source. He was very hands-on touchy, not in any personal areas, but he would put an arm around a woman, touch her hair, pull her ponytail, but always with a comedic aside. It's a fine line.
12.
Right.
Not even 12.
It's a fine line. And of course, everybody loves Bill. And while his conduct is not illegal, some women felt uncomfortable and he crossed the line. He's 71, if that means something. He was initially suspended last week after a complaint was reported for inappropriate behavior. By Thursday, the film was shut down indefinitely. That's a lot for pulling pigtails. I'm not saying that's right to do, but I feel like it's more than a pigtail.
I feel like it was more than a pigtail and so many people and so disruptive and so everything everywhere all the time that you shut down an entire production because you couldn't sit still like a 5-year-old.
And Aziz Ansari is the director and writer, or at least the director. And he has a comedic legend on his set, probably the reason it's greenlit. And he's got to go, no, you're done. That's a big fucking move. And if you're too much for Aziz Ansari, who loves to rake chicks' mouth and think it's funny, you know, fingers in the mouth, pulling their head back. I'm just saying, pigtails was too much. No, there was something more. There's absolutely something more.
It sounds like he's acting like an asshole child. Like, Billy, one more time, and we're going to have to shut down the set. Billy, I said, don't pull her ponytail. Yeah. Like, imagine you have to. What are you working on right now? Oh, they had to shut down because I'm pulling women's ponytails and making them feel uncomfortable.
I think there is something to an actor choosing roles, the same kind of role over and over again. You know, unless you got like a fucked up face and you can only do horror movies. But when Bill Murray, more and more, he's always a cantankerous, doesn't give a fuck asshole in his films. I think that's interesting. A few women complained and Bill and Aziz had a big disagreement. Can you imagine? Aziz would be pissing his pants talking to Bill Murray, but he's got to sit him down. Another source said that Murray, who is apparently single, said the source, loves women and loves to flirt. He enjoys poetry and romance. He's always flirting, but it's always couched in comedy.
Didn't we learn that couched in comedy thing is not welcome either? Right. You know, that like, unless you're going to do it. Like, oh, that's so funny. It's such a funny joke.
Ben Dreyfuss, Richard Dreyfuss's son, he's 35. He started tweeting about that. Hey, remember when Bill Murray threw an ashtray at my dad in that psychiatric movie? Everybody walked off of production, he reminded us, and flew back to L.A. and it only resumed the movie, What About Bob, after Disney hired some bodyguards to physically separate my dad and Bill Murray between takes. Richard Dreyfuss called Bill Murray a, quote, drunken bully.
Oh, my God.
And then the paper ends with two lawyers for Murray didn't respond to inquiries. Two? I understand Bill Murray doesn't have an agent or anything like this. You have to reach him one-on-one somehow. But you got two lawyers on retainer. Okay. I guess it's a crazy... It's Holly Weird. You got to be ready.
Wow. To get a bodyguard for your job.
Yeah, yeah.
Holy shit.
Here's a letter to Keith and the girl from Snowbird. Bill Murray stayed at my hotel. Hey guys, big shit, small tits. Let's get to it. I've worked for a number of years at a 4-star boutique hotel hidden within the wastelands of Country Dough-faced upstate New York. I was the shift supervisor when Bill Murray came in. He was touring with an American band, some side project of his. They played music in the lounge and someone at the bar took a flash photo. He stopped the rehearsal, marched over and physically threw the guy out by the collar. Violently. He reels on me and says, I want that guy fired. But the person he threw out was a paying guest. Just another guest. Just another guest staying at the hotel. I had to butter everyone up with free breakfasts and shit. Very disillusioning.
Here's the problem. Now, this person, you know, I don't know who to blame, probably higher up than this person. But instead of throwing Bill Murray out, you added extra cushioning to everybody else. But if he was not a celebrity, you would just be like, excuse me, you can't throw out these guests. I don't have to buy them all breakfast and have you sit there.
Right. Regarding the current news, I'm not sure how sexual his inappropriateness was on set, but I can confirm he doesn't exactly come off as a reasonable, nonviolent person. His handlers were well practiced at enabling his behavior. It isn't always one guy when a celeb misbehaves, it's the yes men too. Anyways, love you both in appropriate ways. Peace, love, and Keith and the girls, Snowbird. Thank you, Snowbird. Yeah, I think something's up with him. And that's why I recommend, you know it, say it with me, BetterHelp. Of course, BetterHelp. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's online therapy. Come to not use it. We love it. Online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist. So you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. I do, though. I want them to see me twitch or something like that. You know, it's much
right,
more
call it out. Yeah. Like, hey, you just looked away for that. Is there something there? Yes. Thank you for asking.
It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. Give it a try and see why over 2 million people have used BetterHelp online therapy. This podcast.
And remember, you are not the only one that doesn't need therapy. If you are walking around all day like that person needs help, that person needs help. That's you too. Someone's walking around pointing if you've never gotten help before or if you feel any kind of way, even if you're happy all the time, you need therapy. There is not one feeling that is just a constant that is okay.
And you don't have to think, I used to think therapy is for people who are bad or are fucking up in some way. But let's say you just want everybody to have a good time at the park and you don't know, do I have to bring food for everybody? Should I check on their dietary restrictions? How can I be anxiety filled and smoke pot? I'll find a way. Let's say that's you. Go to BetterHelp. All right. Keith and Girl listeners get 10% off your first month. BetterHelp.com/KATG. That's BetterHelp.com/KATG. Which leads us to this. Me and my dad talking back and forth some more.
And you know what? On Q&A, we go back. Like, if you're a VIP member, you got to be listening to Q&A. It's so fucking good. Just catching up with Newsy is amazing.
Right.
But anyway, we go back. Let's say we're recording today. We go back on this date. Throughout 17 years of the history of Keith and the Girl, and he tells us what's up. And I noticed around this time that your dad and you are always getting into something. And what I realized is it's Easter and your birthday this month. So he has double the chances to make up why he has to get in touch with you. And now you're working on the dad emails, so you can't let it go as much because in a way you're reliving it. The PTSD is kicking in. So every time he emails you, you're already reading and editing all the emails that he sent you in the past when you were pretending to be your ex. And now this on top of it. So I shouldn't be surprised. BetterHelp.com/KATG.
He ends up saying later, you know, I'll read the back and forth. But he brings up, hey, you know, again, if that's your ex, what do you care what I did? Which is fucking shocking and ridiculous. And I'll tell you why it's even worse now. But that's where I happen to be making the dad emails book. So it's like you're just picking a bad time. He doesn't know it, poor thing. But this is bad timing for you to reach out and try to change the past. Because again, in literal black and white, it's all in front of me. He wrote to all the siblings and including me. Usually he doesn't do that. and wrote, this is, but when he does, it's something about God or something like this. And I also think it's the show.
Generic.
Look, everybody, everything's fine. Here's all the kids. You're not going to, especially, you know, he's always done this, especially if other kids are part of this, you're not going to bring up Cat and make people feel uncomfortable. You're not going right. to, you know, it's about God. Today is known as St. Thomas Sunday. 8 days after the resurrection, Thomas finally showed up in Galilee, blah, 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 blah. And it goes on. Let's see.
Keith, that's the important part. You're blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah, sorry. So that everybody has the whole story. You're right. 8 days after the resurrection, Thomas finally showed up in Galilee where Mary Magdalene had told them that Jesus wanted all of them to meet as soon as possible after the resurrection. They all did except for Thomas, who doubted that Christ had truly resurrected from the dead. And of course, Judas Iscariot, you know, who had already committed suicide, blah, blah, blah. During that week, Jesus had appeared to the apostles on several different occasions, and during one of them gave all in attendance, except for Peter, who already received it, the power to forgive sin. Thomas was not there on that occasion. Did he ever receive the power? Scripture does not say. It is presumed that he did. Okay. What historical evidence...
This is a story? This is a biblical story?
What historical evidence does indicare, I don't know what that means, is that of all the apostles, Thomas is the one who took the teaching of Christ the furthest from Jerusalem, namely to India. Careful, God doesn't like doubters. Moses simply struck a rock twice to be certain the water would flow from it when God said only strike it once. For that momentary act of doubting, Moses was prevented from personally setting foot in the promised land. Could you fucking imagine?
Jeez.
Moses, what the fuck? That God had destined for the Jewish people. Let us not be doubters, but believers.
Wow, that's harsh.
Yeah.
Don't doubt.
Don't even doubt.
Doubt everything.
All the proof's there, and it's called faith. And don't doubt.
Holy
shit. Where I'm from, we would call you an idiot, but God's different.
This is the biggest fucking drug circle. What is happening? They're like, you know what, man? I feel like I have the power to forgive sin.
Right.
You know what? I'm going to give it to you. Hold on. No, 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 no. Ah, you have the power too. It's a good thing we were all here in this circle.
I wrote back to everybody, including him. You think God knows about you thinking you flirted with Kat and you teasing me that you know secrets that you can't share is a weird way to get attention? Are you going to tell him that there's more of the story that he doesn't know about? Send. I enjoyed that.
Wow. What's the response? Anybody? Crickets?
I do not need to tell him, he writes to everybody. He already knows what my thoughts were in those emails. However, you never answered me on the following matter. Whether I said what you think I said or not. Okay. You did. Promise. You did say about Jingling Libido song. I promise. Whether I said what you think I said or not, why would it bother you since you were no longer married to her at the time? I warned you repeatedly. You could not expect to hold on to your marriage and maintain a close working relationship with Kenda. One or the other
He's
would win out.
Married.
He was still married.
Still married. Yeah. He's still married now, Keith.
Right. One or the other would win out. And if you did not make some serious changes in your life, you would end up losing out on precious treasures. Does that mean
it's
heaven? Does that mean
again?
Cat? I don't know who that means. Precious treasures.
Precious treasures of your dad not trying to hit on your ex. Because if you were still together, he wouldn't do that.
Look in the mirror, my son. There you will see the one responsible. Seek forgiveness from your Savior and change your ways for the better while you still have time to do so.
You're never going to be done with this book. What is happening?
I can't add all these to it, but
holy
shit.
God. Holy shit.
I wrote, now this was my birthday. I never know what's going to come back, but I'm like, I love that it's in front of other people because he's a narcissist, a liar. Like, he can't trick people because he's like, you ever hear that phrase? If you were smart, you'd be dangerous. And it implies that somebody's stupid. That's my dad.
Yeah,
if he was smart, he'd be dangerous.
Very, very dangerous. Yes.
Did you just tell everyone, I wrote, why am I concerned that you wrote my ex if we're no longer together? Why would it bother me that my dad told my ex-wife she makes his libido jingle if I'm no longer married to her? Are you really
married? You're married to my mom. You're married to my mom. Right. You're married to my mom.
Right.
Okay. Side note.
Yeah.
Side note, apparently.
Yeah.
Side note.
Are you really going to say that in front of everybody? KeithandTheGirl.com/dad. I added that to be clear. Yes.
And?
Nothing, of course. Then that was the end.
Oh, my God. Did you get... Oh, at the top of keithandthegirl.com/dad, we have the code-free trial to get all the all the episodes for free. There is no paywall there.
Right.
There's a made-up paywall, but if you read a little bit, you can get all of these shows.
My brother made some kind of comment, Ken. Despite God not liking doubters, he's the only one, Thomas, that was allowed to put his hands in Jesus' holes to verify with proof. Sounds like it worked out for them. Then Ken wrote, I know it's not the most pleasant conversation, but I'm happy you two are talking. Yeah, me too, Ken. Me too.
That's a joke, right?
No, no. He's like, at least we're getting somewhere. He really thinks he can somehow get us together, I think. That's his job.
No.
He has the priest disease, and he's like, I have to save this. It's like, well, you
can't.
That's
not true.
Yeah, I'm afraid it is.
No, it's never going to be, I'm glad you're talking to him, except for, you know, because you're okay with it, this is funny. But no, this person's not going to change.
Of course not.
Oh, sweet, sweet Ken. And it's Ken?
Ken, of all people, who does daddy issues with me.
Mm-hmm.
The others, and then my dad answers something about that, you know, about Peter and Thomas and who gives a shit. But he didn't. But my message is still in the middle of that. And I'm like, all right, so everybody saw it. Everybody saw the stupid thing you wrote. That's a good Sunday to me.
Wow. I love how your other siblings, and I am not faulting them for this. Mm-hmm. I love how they're like, that's not my day. Next.
Right.
They're like, oh, no, 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 no. You guys want to talk to each other like this. I'm going to go have a picnic in the park and not worry about what anyone's eating.
Yeah, which I'm fine with. But yeah,
of course,
Ken of old people is funny. Like, okay, you guys are talking. Can we work it out? Like, Ken, keithandthegirl.com/VIP. There's daddy issues right there. A spinoff that we do. And we're not silly about it. We take it like it's a real thing. Do you know what I mean? Like the news could hear it and report on those shows. It's not goofy. Oh, well, just funny. I saw Craig Klein write this on Facebook April 21st in the morning, and he wrote, ever been so stoned in the chat that you feel like you need to apologize in the morning? Happy April 20th.
Okay.
In relation to 420, of course.
I said story time, please.
Okay.
Do you have story time?
I'd like to hear story times.
So we don't know?
What do you mean? Oh, no, I'm not sure if something specifically happened. I think he just smoked a lot.
Yeah, what the fuck happened?
Yeah, I think that's it.
Oh.
Yeah. Then I see this person, Brent Meyer, writes under him. Craig had to show this to me. Ever thought that using your family for content and apologizing in the morning? You're trash. No better than your father. He doesn't air it like you do. Does he think he's talking to me?
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does.
Because Craig doesn't. Craig gets along with his parents.
Yeah, white guys all look the same.
Craig.
I don't know. Keith. Craig Klein.
Okay. Keith. Klein. Malley. Okay, it gets harder the more you go, but okay. And so I look this guy up and I see, hi, I'm Brent Meyer. I'm 38. He wrote a letter some time ago. There have been 3 attacks on the gay community here in Columbus. You know, do you want to talk about it? And some link. And maybe because I never write back, now he hates me. He also bought the Great American Novel. It starts with dad emails.
I've seen that name a lot. But also, you know what? This sounds like if it's hysterical, it's historical. You know, this cannot be about you. This is a person who abused you. And you speaking out like this is part of the healing of the trauma that gave you. And you also doing that is giving people the opportunity to see their parents as actual human beings and to let go of what they think they're responsible for. This is, I get it. I get how it's gossipy and how it's rude and how that person kind of fed you all your life. Kinda.
Right.
And you know what? No, he didn't, because it was your mom. It was your mom not only cooking and cleaning, it was her bringing in the literal bread and butter.
Yes.
So people speaking out about their abuse is not this, you know, glorified entertainment thing. This could hurt. And it has.
Yeah. This book, I'm telling you, I'm going to be as proud of it as me and Kenda's relationship book, as proud of it as my book, The Great American Novel. You're going to love this book. It's fucking nuts. Again, the jingling libido part is like 1/5 into the book.
Yeah, like,
it's
this
fucking
is not-
nuts. I'm at the part now where he's rating me on the side and rating Kat. It's fucking nuts. And that you heard these stories, Brent, and you're like, too much. You don't air it. What the fuck did your dad do? So what could it be? because we have to assume that Brent's a human goddamn being, and there's no way he's gay. So let's say, would he ever hit on his son's boyfriend? Or, well, I guess that means the son's gay. Would he ever hit on one of his kids? Like, what the fuck? I wouldn't hit on one of my stepkids, somebody they date, and that's not even in my family. What the fuck? So let's assume, Brent, that you know that's disgusting. You wouldn't do that. So why are you defending my dad knowing that you understand the full story? That's crazy to me. So are you hiding abuse from yourself? Is it the story where, like, for example, Weinstein was raping these women? It's a fact. And Pamela Anderson at the time said that never happened. Meanwhile, Pamela Anderson was raped multiple times. Is she trying to hide that pain by thinking rape in Hollywood doesn't happen? What is Brent defending? It's the only thing that can make sense to me. Because you really feel like family's so special and don't share it. You know what? Honestly, thank God I'm sharing it. And thank God people are brave and they share things. Thank God.
Yeah, I think we can't decide what his specific trauma is.
But you wanted attention, Brent, and you got it. So what is it, though? And maybe it's deeper than you know.
But it also is like, hey, you know, not everybody wants to respond to their parents or to their abuse in that way. I don't, but I'm not going to stop you from doing it, because this is how you actually realized you were being abused. Until you said it over and over again, wrote a book about it, and really talked it over with other people in public, you thought you had the greatest childhood.
It was what it was.
And that you had no reason to push back ever.
Right.
Now you're coming up with, I should have pushed back earlier.
Yes.
I didn't know you were allowed to.
I didn't know you were allowed to punch your dad. Did you know that's a thing, people? Everybody's doing it. Nobody told me. I honestly think, remember I didn't watch movies until I was like 18. Well, one here and there in a blue moon. Dad took us to see E.T., paid with pennies. There are three of us. Humiliating.
You remember the one time you went to the movies?
The one time I went to the movies. And then after 18, and then I'm great at the silent trailers game because at 18, I saw everything. Everything I couldn't see, everything new. I think it was also a move that we don't see the outside world.
Of course.
So we didn't watch any movie about a family.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Keith, you never had visitors. You never went to other people's houses. Do you ever notice that other people's childhoods include sleepovers?
Yes. Oh, I parents? Do now. I see the movies now. Yes.
Right.
Of course I do.
Right. And your parents didn't pick you up at all, or picked you up 3 hours after everybody left, including the other adults. Like, he, in order to normalize.
I just saw that part in the book, by the way, where about how my dad would pick me up from an after school activity hours later. And I'm like, well, I took the extra school activities to not have to be home, but I wanted to be home eventually.
And also, that's neglect. That's actually in the law books.
Right.
You know, some of this stuff he's making up, and he's very creative, and it's so obscure that it's like, wait, what's happening? I don't even know who do I call? The police? Excuse me, I'm digging holes. I don't know. Like, you don't know. But this is downright neglect. You're under 18. They told you they'd be somewhere, and you're alone.
Yeah.
And you can't even walk home, which eventually you had to sometimes, as I understand. Yeah. What kind of shit is this? You want Keith to be quiet about this stuff? No, people don't get for their victims to be quiet. They do not get that. That is a privilege that we're trying to shut down.
KeithandtheGirl.com/dad. If you're new, the whole story's there. That's what you can listen to anytime you're bored or you need something. I'm going to say it again. You're going to love this book. You're going to love this book. Ow! Ow! And then I keep running, you know, Kenda's in all these, of course, all these different sections talking about my dad. And I'm like, Kenda, that is so good. Great point. That is what my heart's thinking. Thank you. So my dad hates you, but come to help me out a lot. That's the truth.
I think whoever your dad hates is a great person.
Right.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Look who he gives credit to. Some dude at a fucking Burger King He's probably wearing the Burger King crown. And your dad's like, this guy's royalty. Who is he giving credit to? He's got no one in his life that was around to even have dinner with you guys to show what another adult human being looks like. So who are these grandiose people that he made fantastic deals with that you should aspire to be like? Where the fuck was that? It doesn't exist because you make it up, because anyone who's great doesn't want to be around you. And that should be heard.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, very, very excited. Very, very excited. So, Dad, thank you. That you don't think. So I think I go, Dad, Jingling Libido and X. And that's a stupid thing to say. Anyway, here's their website again. If anybody didn't check it out yet, here it is one more time. And then he's got to be like, okay, I thought I can just trick the situation, and Keith would only say so much because other people were included. Now, I already sent an email that included everybody to you, telling you to fuck off. I literally wrote those words, which again is a huge fucking thing. It's like when you see the Matrix and a building gets bigger before it explodes. That's a big fucking thing I did. You don't think I'm going to put /dad in one more time? Of course I am. Of course I am. Now, what did we learn? Oh, we learned that this book is going to be so fucking good. And I don't mind saying so myself. I really don't. If you're Russian, you know, watch what you steal. It might track you around. Bill Murray, apparently it was sexual after all. We don't know what. His friends are saying it was just hair pulling. He was doing comedy. But you shut down a major production. Then thanks to Snowbird.
Boy, what do people think? Like, people have that little a sense of humor. Like,
yeah.
You want to be at work. You got this job. It's Bill Murray and Aziz Ansari. And you're like, I'm going to find everything funny.
Right.
It's fantastic. You ever are around your boss? It's not like I'm saying you fake laugh. But you bring your warmth as much as possible. Right. And now I'm going to be like, Bill Murray brushed against me. Everyone's fired. I got what I wanted. Like, right. How sensitive would people have to? Come on.
You can get away with a lot being a comedian in that people think, oh, you must be being silly. A lot of people don't believe I really put baked beans into my tax notices. But, you know, so I guess that lets you keep going and going until you're like, oh, man. You know, Louis C.K. is counting on that. I was just being funny, blocking women out of the room and jerking off. It was a joke, and you don't need to know more. Yeah. But Snowbird talking about how he does have a violent streak. That was interesting. BetterHelp, we love it. And my dad, thank you. It was my day yesterday, kinda. Honestly, it was fucking perfect. I got a lot done in the book. My dad wrote that. That made me keep writing the book because it got me excited. Riled up sounds angry. I wasn't angry. I was very excited. Then I saw Rod. Oh,
jazzed.
I was jazzed. I was very jazzed. Then we went out, you know, into the park. That was fun. Came back, did a little more on this, whacked off. It was a very, very good day all around.
But how was the shawarma?
Oh, Mamoun's I had.
Right?
Still so good. It's been years. Still so good. Still so good. Still so good, and yet you didn't bring anyone for Rod and Karen. Okay. Anyway, thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you for sharing the show. That's what counts. That's what matters. If you have the time to review it, do that. Wherever you get podcasts, 5 stars, all that. You know what to do. All right. Thank you so much.
If you have HBO, watch Game Theory. It's not too late. We want Rod to come back to New York, and this will make him do that. So watch Game Theory. You know, click like on everything that you're listening to. That's all we need.
He's got to come back to New York. Henda has to feed him. She feels terrible. What do they have in North Carolina? I don't know.
I said I'm over it. KeithandTheGirl.com